Good evening once again. Welcome back to the prepared portion of One Step Beyond. I'm going to run through the next few articles very quickly so we have some significant time for phone calls this evening. Very quickly, reading from the New York Times of Sunday, January 29th of 1989, we find the following story: two held in plot to kill Giuliani. That's Rudolph Giuliani, the outgoing federal attorney in Manhattan, the fellow who presided over the Pizza Connection cases. And as we have speculated about, there appear to be some very significant connections between the Pizza Connection heroin operations, in which mafia operations moving heroin through pizza parlors in the East and Midwest were busted by the FBI. And that operation appears to connect up not only with elements of the U.S. national security establishment, but elements of the Reagan administration, and specifically people involved with the Iran-Contra scandal and a number of other scams. Recall that there's a very significant connection between some of the people the Christic Institute called the Secret Team, and we're going to talk about the Christics in just a second, and, among other things, the P2 Lodge-connected Stibom Arms for Drugs ring involved in the Iran-Contra scandal and also the shooting of the Pope. P2 Lodge, recall, the shadow, the crypto-fascist government that had basically been running Italy for quite some time under Licio Gelli, again, the former Oberleutnant in the SS. Strong connections of P2 both to the United States and Latin America as well. Radio Free America shows 17 through 21, plus numbers 32 and 34, talk about the P2 connections. By the way, we've got a whole bunch of fabulous translations from Dave, our Italian translator, who is cranking out his usual excellent work. We'll have more of those in weeks to come. Of the plot to kill Rudolph Giuliani. Again, New York Times, Sunday, January 29th, 1989. Two brothers have been charged with participating in a racketeering conspiracy that prosecutors said included a plot to kill the United States attorney in Manhattan, Rudolph W. Giuliani, G-I-U-L-I-A-N-I. Federal prosecutors said the two men, Salvatore and Federico Spatola, were involved in a racketeering enterprise which involved conspiracy to commit murder for hire and conspiracy to distribute narcotics, unquote. They said the Spatolas plotted against Mr. Giuliani and others to protect their own illegal drug enterprise. Salvatore Spatola, a convicted drug trafficker, was arrested Friday at the Federal Correctional Institution in Lewisburg, Pennsylvania, where he is serving a prison term. Federico Spatola was arrested at the Conca d'Oro Pizzeria in Manhattan and later pleaded not guilty at an arraignment in federal district court. Salvatore Spatola was convicted last year in the attempted murder of a witness in the Pizza Connection drug case, according to the Manhattan District Attorney, Robert M. Morgenthau. And we talked about that attempted murder of the Pizza Connection witness. It happened right as the Iran-Contra scandal was gathering steam. So, again, I wonder if perhaps the recent resignation of Rudolph Giuliani may have been as a result of political pressure. In the program called The December Surprise, The Politics of Terror and the Exoneration of the Secret Team, I speculated at some length about the possibility of a political deal having been cut in which perhaps Rudolph Giuliani would have gone easy on some of the people involved or apparently involved in the Pizza Connection case, say perhaps shying away deliberately from some of the connections leading in the direction of the Pope shooting and the Secret Team et al., whether if perhaps he helped to throw the General Aniline and Film stock manipulation case. General Aniline and Film, the former American subsidiary of IG Farben, represented in this case by Arthur Lyman, the congressional counsel from the Iran-Contra Committee, a man with a lot of interesting connections through his law firm to some of the same elements he supposedly was grilling in the public hearings in 1987. I wonder if perhaps, again, there's been speculation that Giuliani may run for the Republican nomination of mayor. I wonder if perhaps he was subjected to a little carrot and stick. Say, basically, if you serve us well in the Pizza Connection case, serve us well in the General Aniline and Film case, if you also serve us well by dismissing charges against a number of people charged with smuggling arms to Iran who claimed that they were working as part of the Iran-Contra operation, and specifically that they were working for, among others, George Bush, that case was thrown out of court. And I wonder if perhaps Giuliani was offered rewards for cooperating, and perhaps threats were placed to see to it that he understood there could be some negative consequences of not going along. Again, that's speculation. But as we looked at in the December Surprise program, there was a lot of movement in December and early January with regard to the Iran-Contra scandal. That movement is still going on, as we'll see. I wonder if this plot to kill Giuliani had anything to do with his resignation coming at this time and coming right after these key cases, right after the Pizza Connection 4 case with all of its potential explosive angles, right after the General Anilon and Film case with its connections to people involved in Iran-Contra, and also the dismissal of charges against 11 people for running arms to Iran. Again, food for thought and grounds for further research. The Christic Institute, the public interest law firm, which has popularized the term Christic, the term secret team, previously used by Colonel L. Fletcher Prouty in his book by that name, The Secret Team, to describe the U.S. intelligence system and its many allies. Well, the Christic Institute continues to fall on hard times in a court of law. Reading now from the San Jose Mercury News from Saturday, February 4th of 1989, an AP story dateline Miami headlined, Targets of Contra Conspiracy Suit Awarded $1 Million. A federal judge on Friday criticized a Guns for Drugs conspiracy lawsuit against Contra and ex-CIA figures, calling it an abuse of the legal system and awarding the defendants $1 million in fees and costs. Chief U.S. District Judge James Lawrence King last June threw out the $24 million lawsuit filed by the Christic Institute on behalf of journalists Tony Avergan and Martha Honey. On Friday, King issued a follow-up ruling requiring the plaintiffs to pay the defendants $955,000 in attorney fees plus $79,500 in court costs. Some of the 29 defendants, who include Contra leader Adolfo Calero, ex-CIA Deputy Chief of Operations Theodore Shackley, Iran-Contra figures Albert Hakim and Richard Secord, conservative activist former Major General John Singlaub and others, promised action against the liberal Washington-based Christic Institute. This is the signal to begin the counterattack, Singlaub said of King's action. I think this will put a damper on this kind of courthouse terrorism against those who are fighting against the radical left, unquote. Skipping down the Christic Institute's response to this action, the Christic Institute bitterly criticized the ruling by King, noting that its appeal of his decision last June was still before the 11th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in Atlanta. They are also appealing Friday's ruling, seeking an immediate stay. Quote, Judge King's decision was a legal disgrace, said Christic attorney Daniel Sheehan, who assembled much of the case. His ruling will only strengthen our position in the appeals court that Judge King is committing a consistent pattern of legal error. Again, noting the arrest and recent health problems of John Hull, one of the main figures in the Christic Institute's lawsuit, given the deaths of key people that they were seeking either as witnesses to provide as informants of one kind or another, one wonders if perhaps some of that direct interference has something to do with the lawsuit being thrown out. Recall also that Richard Secord was actually securing $100,000 to work against the Christic Institute. Money was being diverted specifically to foil the Christic Institute's efforts. Within the program that's available in the archives called The December Surprise, I speculated considerable length, and I air my working hypothesis that, in fact, the apparent demise of many of the charges against Oliver North, the decision to dismiss some of the key charges against Oliver North, stemmed from the interrelationship between two plane crashes that took place in December. One was the plane crash that killed former Israeli security expert and Oliver North associate Aviram Nir, one of the key players in the Iran-Contra scandal, and the other was the crash of Pan Am Flight 103 in Lockerbie, Scotland, on December 21st of 88, at the hands of terrorists unknown. And again, it is my working hypothesis in that broadcast that the circumstances surrounding those two crashes not only eliminated key witnesses and served to intimidate other people who might have provided key information, but they froze, in a sense, the documents pertaining to terrorism in 1985 and 86, some of which were being sought by Lawrence Walsh, the special prosecutor. The hypothesis that I am airing is that it was not Palestinian terrorists so much as it was elements of the U.S. national security establishment, specifically elements working on behalf of or allied with the secret team, quote-unquote, that precipitated not only the downing of Aviram Nir's plane, but also the Lockerbie crash as well, in order to eliminate witnesses, eliminate evidence, and intimidate others.